The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Welcome to this week's episode of Lions Roar here from the Texas A&M University campus in Main Cafe. I'm Director of Athletics Tim McMurray, joined again this week. We got a great show, joined first by our head football coach, Colby Carthel. In the second segment from our soccer teams, student athlete Sophie Haywood. And then our head track and field and cross-country coach, George Pincock, will be joining us for our final segment. Looking back at last week, before we bring in Coach Carthel, football with an exciting home opener with the record crowd, 10,108 fans, 59-6 win over William Jewell. And the Lions stay ranked number 3 nationally in this week's AFCA poll. So very exciting start back home this weekend for Eastern New Mexico. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Coach coming up in the first segment. Soccer stays undefeated, 3-0-1, victory at home on Friday night against St. Mary's, 2-0, and then a hard-fought game in Austin on Sunday, scoreless tie in double overtime against 6th-ranked St. Edward. So certainly would expect to see women's soccer, when the rankings come out later this week, to climb from that number 11 spot, 3-0-1, and they're back on the road on Friday night. We'll talk more about that. Volleyball coming off a 1-3 week. 2 5-set losses to 2 nationally ranked teams out in Colorado, at the Colorado State Pueblo Tournament, and then our home cross-country meet, which we'll talk about with Coach Pincock in segment 3 today. But before we get too much further along in the show, welcome, 2-0.
You bet.
Congratulations, 59-6 win. Certainly a little bit different opponent than University of North Alabama this week, but great to see offense back on track. We'll talk about all three phases, but let's talk about that 59-point performance.
It was a fun night for the Lions and fun night for that record-breaking crowd. Really appreciate everybody coming out, students, the faculty, the townsfolk, and people all around the East Texas region. That home side was completely packed midway through that first quarter, and the east side was about half full. So it was a unique thing to see as these crowds have continued to grow over our 5 years here. And to break that record first game was awesome, and I know there'll be bigger crowds later on in the season, so that'll keep getting better. But Lions were really sharp in all three phases of the game, and fun to go out there as an opponent that we knew that, you know, we matched up well with and were better than, and it's a matter of just going out and handling your business and putting them away early, and then seeing some of those young guys get some reps, some of them their first reps, and seeing that production stay all the way to the final minute until the final 6 seconds. But it was a great night for the Lions all the way around.
Played, I think, all 99 guys that dressed. Always excited to see that and let everybody get some reps and get some game action, which certainly will pay off. But on the defensive side, 6.5-point average through 2 games, one of those against a top-5 opponent in the country. And then certainly Saturday night's performance, like you said, just a few seconds from a shutout. But got a lot of guys' reps on the defensive side. Talk about their performance so far.
No doubt. Defense has been really stellar. And we felt like we had a good bunch coming in the year. We don't have a lot of just big-name guys, but, you know, a bunch of just really smart, sound football players that know where to be. And, you know, it's about being where you're supposed to be on defense. Missed assignments, misalignments get you beat a lot more than mismatches. And these guys are really good athletes too. But they're where they're supposed to be and taking in the scheme. And it's, you know, Coach Deese and his staff, this is their 5th year here. And so they really have been able to recruit to that scheme. And it's really showing off, making opponents really having to work for every yard they get. And points are hard to come by. So as we hit conference play, you know, it's going to be a big challenge this week with a triple option. Hopefully they can play discipline and sound and make it tough on the Greyhound Saturday.
Talk about what the fans have to look forward to Saturday night. And I know you think very, very highly, even with a new coaching staff, you think very highly of that program and put them very high in the preseason rankings. So last year jumped out on them very early out there in Portales and sort of neutralized that triple option and forced them to play from behind. Talk about what you see on tape early from them.
It won't be a 59-0 score, I promise you that much. They are very talented. I have a lot of respect for Kelly Lee, their head coach. He's a good friend of mine and a very good football coach. They've got a great staff and a veteran bunch coming back. Kamal Cass, preseason co-player of the year with Luis Pettis on offense, and their quarterback's back. He was a freshman of the year last year. So, you know, triple option, that's the great equalizer in college football. So we're going to have to play very disciplined on defense and discipline on offense. Because of the triple option, we'll have very limited possessions offensively. So we've got to make sure we make those count when we do get the ball. But I do have a tremendous amount of respect for them. Preseason poll, I picked them second, you know, behind us, because that's where I see them finishing. I think they've got the talent and ability to beat anybody in our league, including the Lions. So we're going to have our jaw set. Need a big crowd out there and ruckus crowd. Need them to be loud, yeah, and loud and proud. So should be a fun night for some exciting LSU football come Saturday night at 6 o'clock Memorial Stadium.
Hall of Fame weekend, a lot of former letter winners coming back. Know there's some good buzz there. Hoping we have, as you said, a great crowd with some of them coming back, and always excited to see that group. I know Coach Hawkins is coming back with some of his former players from that 72 team, and we're you know, at certain timeouts during the game, we're honoring all of our national champions that you know, are on a decade reunion year, a 5 or 10 multiple anniversary championship. Talk about what that means in terms of what you talk to the team about, whether it's Friday night meeting, Saturday pregame, the legacy that's come before them.
Right, that's what we sell a lot in recruiting, is just the tradition. You're not coming to be something new or exciting. I mean, this place has a storied history of success, and with 23 Lone Star Conference championships in football alone, there's a lot of guys that have played before that have done very, very well and won a bunch of rings before us. But it's fun to build on that tradition, but we embrace it, and it's awesome to get some of those guys back to speak to the team and at pregame meals or Friday night, and just to have them there in the stadium and that legacy, to be able to go out there and put a good show and a good product on the field, makes those alums proud.
Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Memorial Stadium. Look forward to it.
Look forward to being
there. Best of luck.
There.
We'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.
We'll be back in segment 2 with Sophie Haywood from our soccer team.
Hi. The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
Can everyone please take the seats?
Yes, I think we're back on live now.
Fasten seatbelts.
This is going to be the best 7 minutes in sports right here. I can already tell. Back in segment 2.
Don't build it up too much, because.
Back in segment 2 of Lions Roar with Sophie Haywood, senior on our now 9th-ranked national soccer team. Hot off the presses. Soccer moving up to 9th in the country with their 1-0-1 weekend with a big victory Friday night. And then coming back on Sunday, hard-fought double overtime tie against St. Edward's. And so we'll talk about both of those matches. But before we jump right in, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Always great to see you. And let's talk about what 3-0-1 with four very competitive opponents. What's the versus last year as a junior on this team? What have you seen this team grow? You're only 1 of 2 seniors, so obviously a lot of new personalities and chemistry in that locker room. Every team takes on a different role. What have you seen this year?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a different place than we was last year. I mean, last year we had a lot of seniors and a lot of experience. Me coming in as a transfer, I was new to the team in itself, but we still had a lot of experience. But this year, I mean, 2 seniors, and I think we've got a total of maybe 7 upperclassmen. The rest are all sophomore and freshmen. So we're in we saw it as sort of a transition period, but the new additions to the team have took to it really well. I mean, we're not where we need to be, but we're further than we expected, and I'm really proud of everyone. Everyone's working hard, and we couldn't really have had much of a better start to the season. So
fantastic. Talk good. About that this past weekend after the 2-0 start at home. We had another great home match on Friday night, victory, another great crowd, and then going on the road for the first time at St. Edward's. Talk about, because probably 2 very different match atmospheres in terms of, you know, competitive nature. St. Mary's, longtime rival, but always the home crowd. Then you had to go on the road in the heat down in Austin. Talk about both matches this weekend.
I mean, it's the atmosphere Friday and Sunday, it's always completely different. Friday always brings the energy. Friday always has the big crowd. I want to thank everyone as well, especially under Tracker here as well. And a lot of the other sports, they show out a lot for us. So the crowds are great. But usually the Friday crowd's the big one. So it's easy to get pumped up for them games. The temperature's a little cooler. So we've always got energy. So that's what we brought on Friday. We could have had a few more goals, but it just wasn't to be. We were happy with... We have a goal scorer over there, Michelle Cotley. Yeah. She leapt like a salmon out of the air and just... got that one in. So we scored 2 goals from corner kicks, which that's our.
We've had our first crowd participation.
Yeah,
in this.
I know. Good, we good should work. Get her up. She's too embarrassed. She's eating. It's yeah, fine. Yeah, you'll fine. Always catch her eating somewhere. But but yeah, so 2 goals from corner kicks. So we was happy with that. That's our bread and butter. We should have finished a few more, but we'll take it. And then the Sunday game, that's always tough because you're on the road. You have one day to recover, and that day is spent traveling, really. So, yeah, it's tough. St. Ed's, they have a big squad. They like to change a lot. So they were a lot fresher than we were. They had a lot. They had 4 days rest, I think.
Yeah.
So, and it was hot, and, you know, it was tough. It was just a battle Sunday, but we fought hard, and at times we were lucky to stay in the game, but towards the end I thought we could have got a winner. So all in all, in hindsight, the ties was a good result. I mean, they're number 6 in the country for a reason. So
yep.
Yeah, it was a good weekend.
Very similar to what our football program's going through right now. You guys being number 9 in the country, you're not going to sneak up on anybody as conference play gets a little bit closer here for us. What are you trying to do as one of the senior leaders, one of the 2 senior leaders, getting those freshmen and sophomores ready? Because we know whether it's West Texas, Angelo, Eastern New Mexico, there's not really a night or day off in terms of conference matches and to be playing your best at the conference tournament. What are you and Raven trying to do with from a leadership perspective and having been through this league once?
I mean, it's difficult. I think the hardest part is trying to get the balance between knowing how important each game is, because really, like the St. Ed's game was really, could have been a make or break for the season, really. So I think it's a balance between knowing how important each game is, but then not stressing it too much, because the young girls haven't really felt pressure like this before. So it's just a balance of, you know, knowing what we need to do, knowing the game plan, but just being relaxed and confident enough to go in and play well. And I think that's something that was tough on Sunday, because it was our first huge real test. All the other games were really hard, but this really could make or break our season. And so we had a talk before the game and just made sure we stressed how important that game was. And I think the nerves, it could be seen the first half, you know, but we had another talk at half time and we settled in. So we're just trying to, me and Raven and the rest of the returners, we're just trying to make that transition easy, but we do need to stress how important each and every game is, because one slip up really can affect the season.
I've got a news flash for everyone that you may not know. Commerce, Texas and Hull, England are 2 very different places. Would that be fair?
I would say so.
Okay. All right. So that we've got that
generally,
out of the way.
Generally, yeah.
You got
can you not tell
here,
by the accent?
Came to South Alabama. Transferred here, very fortunate to have you here as a leader and student athlete on campus. Talk about the transition for Sophie, though. How you got here, what the differences are, what you love about Commerce,
well,
besides the athletic director, obviously.
Yeah, besides, I came here for you, really, Tim, but besides all that, I mean, so I was at the University of South Alabama before I came here, so I had a transition period there adapting to England, to life in America. And I guess it's not too different there, but the main difference is Commerce is, I was in the middle of a big town in Mobile, but Commerce is sort of secluded, and it's not too far from the, you know, Dallas and major areas, but I kind of like that about it. We're our own little kind of like family in mm-hmm. the middle of wherever,
yeah.
And I kind of like that about it. It's a very close community, and yeah, I'm really enjoying myself, but the transition, I'm enjoying the weather.
Yeah,
that's the biggest difference, because it rains, I would say, most days in England.
Okay.
And although the weather's can be a bit miserable here, no, that's the biggest difference. And also food. I miss my mum's cooking. That's the biggest transition too.
Talk about
tea.
You co-hosted the Luckies with Raven Porter last
that
spring.
That was a hoop.
And we're I would say you probably will get to defend your crown this spring.
Do you
but
think?
We haven't quite gotten that far, but talk about that. One thing you touched on it earlier, student-athlete support and participation, supporting the other sports. And I thought the Luckies that night was a nice culmination. We've never really done it that way. We've never done the kind of that red carpet feel and treated it like an award show.
Mm-hmm.
What did you enjoy about that? I know you got to interact with a lot of other student-athletes and teams, but talk about that.
Yeah, I enjoyed the whole, like, I felt like, first of all, I felt like I was hosting the Oscars or something, so you made me feel real important there, so thank you. Maybe that's my future career, I don't know, but I don't know, maybe this is my audition.
Yeah, maybe
send
maybe hosting
off.
Lions
send
Warriors, we don't
Grammys,
know.
Grammys, Oscars, I'm not really picky. I'll take any of it.
And don't forget humble.
Yeah.
We both have that in common.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's probably
very
work
down
well
to earth, grounded. No, but it was fun. Like, it was great to see all the athletic department having, like, the coaches, the players, the people, admin, you know, everyone in one room, because we're all so busy constantly, and we're all, you know, especially the teams, we're always in different places at different times. It's very rare we're all on campus together, and let alone in the same room. So it was really fun to just be in one room and have the participation. You know, we had lots of, like, students coming up, and they were doing their part and reading the cards, and it was just good to see, like, a group effort to produce this really fun night. Yeah, it was really fun.
We promised the most insightful 7 minutes in sports, and we did not underperform.
No.
Sophie, thanks. Come back and see us.
Thank you very much
All right.
for having
Best
me,
Best of luck
man.
This weekend. All right. We'll be back on Lions World with head track and field coach George Pincock right after this.
Hello, this is Alex Shiloh from the Lions football team. The Lions Champion Fund is the official support unit for Lion Athletics.
Donations to the LCF go directly to providing a best-in-class experience for all 436 Lions student-athletes. I am Sydney Reyes from the Lion volleyball team.
For more information about the LCF, you can visit lionchampionsfund.com.
Again, that's lionchampionsfund.com, and thank you for your best-in-class support.
Back on our final segment of Lions Roar for this week of Hall of Fame weekend and homecoming, and we're sandwiched right in the middle of coming off of hosting our East Texas Shootout Cross Country Invitational last Friday out at Centennial Park here in Commerce, and really appreciate the opportunity that you've taken to join us here today. Welcome our head track and field coach and cross country coach, George Pincock.
Thank you, Tim.
Cross country, so we mouthful on the title, cross country, indoor, outdoor track and field, so three really different disciplines. Obviously, cross country overlap with distance runners, mm-hmm. And then you get into the indoor and the outdoor training. So you're on that cusp of right now, about to start balancing, really all six of your programs, so to speak. Talk a little bit about the balance, the time management, the training. We're in the midst of cross country, but indoor's right around the corner.
Yeah, you know, with cross country, track and field, and then being one of two sports on campus that deals with both male and female athletes, you know, we have a lot of opportunities that are very unique to our sport. So I'm very fortunate to have a great staff who, you know, we kind of try to delegate out each and every event area.
Sure.
You know, a coach working with both the male and female distance runners, a coach working with the hurdlers, a coach working with the jumpers, and really finding a schedule that works for our day as well, not just the student athletes, because it can be tough, you know. We were here at 7 this morning for a practice, and we'll be right after this headed out for another practice till about 6 this evening. So, you know, any given day will be 5 to 6 hours of different practice sessions.
Yep.
And we'll do that for September all the way through May.
So. Even though outdoors a little bit further ahead, one thing that tends to happen in just the nature of NCAA competition with softball and outdoor track for us are kind of those last two to finish. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking in the last segment with Sophie about the Luckies, but outdoor track and softball haven't even finished their even had their conference championship for that year before we're celebrating the end of the year. So before we do that, let's talk about men, terrific finish, women, most NCAA qualifiers in several years, and then certainly, and I see him here today, and we'll have him on here soon, our national champion in the decathlon, Florian Obst, over there in the corner, Flo. How you doing? Talk about the overall performance in Florida, not just what Flo did. Certainly want to talk about that, but the experience those other national qualifiers got that make them better for outdoor that's coming up here.
Yeah, you know, that time frame from the end of school to nationals is, I think, our coaching staff and our athletes, their favorite time. You know, they're done with school. They've put in the hard work in the classroom, and they can just kind of shift and turn all their attention to what they're about to prepare for and about what they're about to compete in. So it's one of my favorite times of the year. You see people grow. You see people have practices that have been better than you've ever thought. So, you know, when we got to Florida, I knew that group was really ready to go. The 4x1 group, our female triple jumper, we had some very experienced males between Devontae Steele and Gage Bowl that was their third national championship. So I felt very confident about the group we had there and their ability to to, you know, go out and do what they've been prepared for. And it was great. It was a really fun experience over the course of 3 days. Florian got us started, you know, had a great day one before anyone else really competed. You know, he went out and scored lots of points through that first day. We came back, our 4x1 at that point, ran a season best time and at the number two in the nation at the time. And it really just set the tone for the entire week. And then to see Jasmine come out in the triple jump and get a podium, the first time that a female's been on the podium in six years at our university, that was great. I couldn't have been more ecstatic about anything other than that. She overcame a lot of things early in the day, some personal things that happened. Her grandmother actually passed away the morning that she competed. I didn't know that until just a few weeks ago. 3 or 4 weeks ago is when I found out. But for her, you know, it's just an indication of what type of athlete we have here on campus and what they're able to accomplish when they put their mind to it.
You inherited this the head coaching reins in the middle of last year, and so certainly one, we appreciate what you've done for all six programs in that amount of time. But how is year one or year zero and a half versus year one, your approach this year with overseeing all six programs and how you started the year versus at this time last year being an assistant coach and having a little more specialized discipline?
Yeah. Right now, you know, we're working together as a staff. We've added a new staff member in Daniel Alvarado. But we're working together to pull philosophies and build something that has a really solid foundation so that we're not trying to create something year after year. But when student-athletes step on campus their freshman year, they can understand and they can see and they can feel what the culture of this program is, what we want to accomplish every single day, every single week, every single month, and then within the year. And we're working hard to create that culture. And we've had great buy-in from the seniors and great buy-in from the underclassmen. And really, this is the first year that we have the whole year to do that. Last year was kind of hit the ground running, you know, put tape over the holes in the boat and don't let it sink.
Yep.
And it wasn't that bad, but, you know, to give it that analogy, and this year I think we're really trying to build the best ship we can.
Working from ahead a little bit. Yep. Well, the advantage of your sports is that we get to have you back in the winter and back in the spring, and hopefully well into the spring and early summer talking about all this success. Congratulations on what you're doing with all these programs, and we look forward to having you back and promoting our home meets in the spring.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate
George,
it.
George, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Head track and field cross country coach George Pancock. Very quickly, and with so many things going on this weekend, want to pull out my cheat sheet here a little bit. First of all, Friday night volleyball, fifth-ranked Angelo State coming to the field house at 6 o'clock. Need a huge crowd there as we upset the number 5 Rambels. And then soccer will be at Harding on Friday night at 7. Saturday, cross country at Missouri Southern Stampede. Our Hall of Fame banquet here on campus at 11 a.m. Looking forward to that. And 2 p.m. volleyball again against conference rival Tarleton State. That's 2 o'clock. And then football, 6 o'clock against Eastern New Mexico. So big weekend with a lot of former letter winners coming back and reunions and events going on around the Hall of Fame. Wish cross country luck. Thank you for joining us this week in Lion Athletics on Lion.